us, this is the second new moon of the year, and so there's a couple things that are kind of interesting about this new moon that many people don't consider on a regular basis because they do not have what I described to you, a ecclesiastical or a liturgical calendar based on the Bible. It's generally made off of paganism, which is kind of weird for Christians, but hey, that's just the way it works in this world. But the second month is called Ziph. Ziph, and it just means to be bright, and it is the time when green plant life and flowers and all these things are bright and in full bloom, so you have life out there. It's also important to note that the book of Numbers was written today in history on a new moon. It's very common in the law that new moons and the writing of certain things were correspondent to one another. Also, Solomon's temple was not started on a new moon. It was started the day after the new moon for the obvious reason, because the people Sabbath during new moons and they kept them as festival times. And so if you were to look at 1 Chronicles 27:4, you would find that tomorrow was the starting of the temple. I'm not going to be reading that. I'm just telling you that's something you can reference. Of course, all this is on the calendar that we have available. So whenever it's up on the wall, you can take a look at it, write the verses down or whatever. But actually quite a bit has happened in the second month of this year. So today we're going to sing Psalm 81 and just Psalm 119. And we're going to cover all of what we have done. So we'll split that up from this morning, before and after. So everybody got Psalm 81?
Sing loud to God, our strength, with joy to Jacob's God to say. Take up a song, the pleasant harp, timbrel and psaltery bring. Blow trumpet at noon, moonlight day, our feast appointed is. For charge to Israel, the law of Jacob's God was there. To Joseph it's a testimony he made when he took land. He traveled through where speech I heard, I did not understand. His shoulder I from burning took, his hands from parted free. Thou didst in trouble on me call, and I delivered thee. In secret place of thunder rain, I did the answer make. And at the streams of Meribah, of the uprooted day. O thou, my people, give an ear, I'll testify to thee. To thee, O Israel, if thou wilt, but hearken unto me. In midst of thee there shall not be any strange God at all, nor unto any God unknown thou bowing down shalt fall. I am the Lord thy God, which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. But yet my people to my voice would not attentive be. And even my church would have none of me. So to the last of their own hearts I am delivered.
absolutely amazing that anybody could read through Psalm 119, A and B, and conclude that the law and grace have never come into contact. That's it, pretty much. This smashes that whole idea. But, who are we? All right, well, we're going to move away from psalm singing for the moment. We'll come back to that set of resuscitations for the new moon that we're going to start new. We are going to start going through the doctrine of creation and resuscitation, which is something that is very often lacked, and that's why people don't have a firm foundation in the doctrine of creation and how it works, at least how we understand it from a Christian perspective. So if you were to have the sheet that says on it, maybe it wasn't passed out. Yes, it wasn't passed out yet. My wife has them all. She's covetous for the knowledge of what is in these pieces of paper that feel like noodles in the humidity. So, there are several verses in the Bible that help us understand creation from a Christological perspective, which means knowing the doctrine of Christ and His coming, who He is and what He is and what He's done. And we will have in our new books when they finally arrive, all of these, and we're going to start going through them to better understand that, and we'll go through probably two or three of the sections every Sabbath, and I thought that on this new moon we would start doing that. So Genesis 1:1-4 is where we start, obviously. In the beginning,
God created the heaven and the earth.
And the earth was without form and void.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
And God said, let there be light.
And there was light.
And God saw the light, that it was good.
And God divided the light from the darkness. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him.
Without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life.
And the life was the light of men.
And the light shines in the darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not. Hebrews 1:1-12. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets,
as in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things.
His Son, by whom also He has made the worlds.
His Son, who is the brightness of His glory.
His Son, who being the expressed image of His person.
And upholding all things by the word of His power.
When His Son had by Himself purged our sins.
Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Being made so much better than the angels.
As He has by your inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
For unto which of the angels said He at any time,
Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee.
For unto the Son He saith,
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity.
Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee
with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth.
And the heavens are the works of thy hands.
They shall perish, but thou remainest.
And they all shall wax old
as a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed.
But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail.
So we will end there in this particular resuscitation of creation and the doctrine of it. But I want to call attention to how if you follow what the scripture says, you will never be left in the dark, pun intended, on where Christ was in the mix of creation and how Christ is undoubtedly part of the Godhead. If you would pay special attention to Hebrews, as well as John, you would see how it says, "For unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And so, therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee or made thee Christ. The word anointed is the word for to Christ or christen someone. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee or made thee Christ. And so, thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundations of the earth. And so, very much John and Hebrews are saying the same thing. And what we were first taught in by Moses in Genesis is the first revelation of understanding it. But what you are given with more clarity by the end of the writing of the Bible is a fuller picture of how this actually worked, where Christ was, where the Spirit of God was, and how the Godhead interacted with creation. And so those are very important things for us to learn and keep in mind, I think. And I think it's something that particularly as children and teenagers interface with a world that is very antagonistic towards God right now, and especially towards Christ, because Psalm 2 tells us very plainly that the heathen rage against him, and they want to break his bands and snap his cords from society, from the world, that having a firm foundation and understanding this will keep you in the straight and narrow way while you have to contend and fight with the wickedness of the world that is inevitably coming our way and has been for some time. And so I want to point that out as we consider things. Also on the back side of the sheet handed out that says of creation, we also have a pledge, the pledge of the covenant. This is of the new covenant. On the new moons, we always look at the new covenant and consider it because, as we will discuss some in our message today, the word new or renewed, kodesh, is the same word both in new covenant and in new moon. So the word new moon is the word kodesh. The word new covenant is kodesh bris. So you're going to have a common understanding in the Hebrew concept. And so you'll see why the Lord actually has chosen to use the new moon to express the things that are in his covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold the day is come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Because they continue not my covenant, and I regard them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
I will put my laws into their minds, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother,
saying, Know the Lord.
For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Also, you have the pledge of the covenant, spoken by Almighty God in Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day,
and the ordinance of the moon, and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waters thereof roar.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh,
then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Thus saith Yahweh,
if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath,
I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. So So thank Yahweh, we are here on another new moon, and that has not happened. We can be sure of it, because the ordinances of the moon have not been departed as of last evening or today. So, that's a good reason to remember all those things. And we have a few more psalms that we would, everybody would like to sing. We have Psalm 119C. D and E, or Gemel, Del, and He. If anybody would like to take a break before we do that, you can do it. Psalm 119C.
With me, thy servant in thy grace, heal thou the poor.
All thy works that wondrous are, I shall. My soul doth melt and drop away for heaviness and grief. To me, according to thy word, give strength and stand relief. From me the wicked way of life let far removed be, and graciously thy holy law do thou grant unto me. I chosen have the perfect way of truth and verity. Thy judgments that most righteous are, before me lay have I. I to thy testimony cleave, shame do not on me cast. I'll run thy precepts way when thou my heart enlarged hast.
Very good. And finally, we have where we are right now at E, or He, 119, which is to the tune of Dunlap's Creek.
Teach me, O Lord,
the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end, I shall my heart incline. Give understanding unto me, so keep thy law shall I. Yea, even with my horn I shall of the victory. In thy law's path make me to go, for I delight therein. My heart unto thy testimonies and not to greed inclined. Turn thou away my sight and eyes from viewing vanity, and in thy good and holy way be pleased to quicken me. Confirm to me thy gracious word, which I did gladly hear, even to thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn thou away my fear's reproach, for good thy judgments be. Lo, for thy precepts I have longed, in thy truth quicken me.
I have a lot of delight in singing Psalm 119.
Yeah.
We all have our song books. We're going to finish up with a few of the specifications and our recital of the Athanasian Creed, which we do every new moon. We're going to start with Roman numeral 1 in the Confession and Creed section in the back of the Psalter. It is the Confession of Christ of the Greatest Commandments in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, and Leviticus 19, 13, which is taken from Mark 12, 29, 31. And after this, we will go directly to the Athanasian Creed, and we will finish there. And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is,
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God
with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.
This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this,
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
There is none other commandment greater than these. They who answered thus answered wisely, for Jesus said unto him who knew these commandments are greatest,
you are not far from the kingdom of God.
And so that version of the Shema, which is of Mark, which Jesus taught us, should certainly not be divorced from the Athanasian Creed. We're saying one and the same thing. It's just the Athanasian Creed elaborates how that's understood scripturally. As I said about creation, you have in creation in Genesis the simplicity of creation just stated, but in the fullness of the scriptures you have the revelations of creation and how it was accomplished. In the same way we understand the Trinity and its great mystery, and in that way we understand there is one God, as the Athanasian Creed does impart, quote the Shema, there is one God, and that one God has three persons, however. And so we find that throughout the Bible, and if we believe the Bible, then we believe that doctrine. Whosoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the uniting faith.
Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly.
And the uniting faith is this,
that we worship one Yahweh God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity,
neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinities, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet not three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so we are forbidden by the united religion to say there be three gods and three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another, none is greater or lesser than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal,
so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary in everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God.
One, altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he sits on the right hand of the Father God Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At his coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into everlasting life,
and they
that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the uniting faith, which except one believe, they shall not be saved.
This is Holy News Covenant Ministry.